just had to pull over in Coffs Harbour to celebrate this moment with everyone on here. My truck
has clicked over to boobies. That's officially boobies.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, February 4th. This is The Drop. We're here in the Classic Factory. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tassie? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy wearing a real ugly shirt today. It's Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Hey! Yo! We got the International Man of Mystery taking it to the Max Lee Ellis. And finally, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. What is this shirt again? Is that Murph?
Oh, this is Sweet Murph, baby. Yeah. This is him doing his classic mouth open, pretending to know the words on the dance floor. I think this photo is at my wedding. Okay. Everybody at one of our homecomings just showed up wearing this shirt. Didn't tell Murph about it, because he hates it when you make him the center of attention like that, making him look, as the shirt says, Murph-diculous.
He looks like Steve-O a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a Steve-O look here. Yeah, and you can see his collar's open. Ordered him a shirt that was just a little bit too tight for the wedding, so he couldn't quite close it up at top. Good stuff.
All right, awesome. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Email in your NBA questions. Always, always looking for your great NBA questions or non-NBA questions. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Grab yourself some No Dunks gear over at NoDunks.com. From Murph-diculous to the No Dunks Nirvana shirt that Lili's got on there. Yeah, show it off.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah. So that's available over at NoDunks.com, and hoodies and t-shirts and mugs, all the good gear. And finally, get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. Okay, on today's drop. We're going to discuss last night's games. We had some really entertaining games. We had the No Dunks Bowl, of course, between the Bulls and the Raptors. Great game between the two LA teams and Trae Young going off there against the Suns. So we'll get into those. We got Five Star Friday Fun. We got Tweet of the Night. We got Rapid Fire Questions. But we start here on a Friday talking about the All-Star teams. Yes, the reserves for the 2022 NBA All-Star game were revealed last night on TNT. The All-Star reserves were voted on by the head coaches in each conference, seven reserves selected from each conference. So let's break them down, but a quick reminder, we'll start in the East. Your starters are Kevin Durant, who's one of the captains. We don't know if he's actually going to play in the game yet, but he is a captain. Giannis, Joel Embiid, Trae Young, and DeMar DeRozan. Those are the five East starters in at least the pool. The reserves in alphabetical order, like they did on TNT. We've got Jimmy Butler with the Heat, Darius Garland with the Cavs, James Harden, of course, of the Brooklyn Nets, his 10th straight All-Star game. Zach LaVine with the Bulls. Chris Middleton, okay, with the Milwaukee Bucks. Jason Tatum of the Celtics. And Freddie All-Star, you did it, Devlin. Fred VanVleet of the Raps. So the first question, I mean, it's an obvious one, Tass. We look at this Eastern Conference All-Star team. Biggest surprise slash snub, however you want to tackle it.
Well, that... That question in your voice about Chris Middleton, that's the one. It's Chris Middleton. Oh, yeah. He gets there sort of as the establishment type player. A champ, been there before, gets over a guy like Jared Allen, who's a Cleveland Cavalier, who is a first-time All-Star. Whenever he gets there, he hasn't gotten there yet. Mm-hmm. And he would be the second Cavalier because Darius Garland was picked, while Chris Middleton is the second Buck. So it's understandable why the coaches go back to that old well. Oh, you know, they've won before. You can't pick two guys with the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially because both those guys would be first-time All-Stars. And the same, I think, goes for LaMelo Ball. Chris Middleton over LaMelo Ball would be another first-time All-Star in LaMelo Ball. Mm-hmm. And the coaches did pick, as I said, Darius Garland and Fred VanVleet as first-time All-Stars, but a third in Jared Allen or a third in LaMelo Ball would be a bridge too far, I guess. And so
can't do it.
Chris Middleton is there, obviously a very good player, and we all lose out a little bit, especially because LaMelo Ball will not be playing in the big show on Sunday. He'll be there on Friday. We will all be watching the Rising Stars Challenge, but I'm sure LaMelo in the big show would have been nice, but yeah, Chris Middleton, we'll get to the West, I think is the only one that we're all going to be really questioning just because been there, done that before for the coaches, and that's who they picked. They just couldn't pick two Cavs, I think, as first-year guys, and same with LaMelo.
Yeah, and the reason we might be even questioning it more than normal is I think some people were like, if the Bucks were going to get a second All-Star, people thought it was Drew Holiday, Not Chris Middleton. They sort of had him as third in the pecking order of Bucks All-Stars, but here he is. One of his nicknames on Basketball Reference is Baby Joe Johnson.
Oh, no
Story
way.
Checks out.
Why?
Yeah, because it feels like a little bit. He's just so solid of a player. You know, 20 points per game. Pretty efficient. He's having like the tiniest down year for him, but yeah. He's still solid. Brings it defensively. No, just fills up the box score. He's consistent. He plays a lot. And the coaches just go, yep. And I agree with Tass. I think there's this like little bit of a championship hangover that is there where it's like, no, they're the champs and they're still one of the better teams in the East. They deserve more than one. And then he just gets in there. But that was the surprise for me as well. I assume you agree.
Of course, yeah. I think as well, what the other thing we see with the All-Star selection, sometimes it's a year behind. There's a bit of a lag. And I think that's it. Jared Allen was good when he came over in the trade last year, but he wasn't as good as he's been so far this season and really impacted what the Cavs have been doing to win. Chris Middleton impacts, obviously, what Milwaukee does to win. And I think the thing is with Chris Middleton is he was fantastic in the playoffs, in the finals. He got that championship. He silenced a lot of critics, especially when Giannis went down. And so there is that, like, okay, we sort of have to acknowledge and reward that, even though he has been an all-star in the past, and if Jared Allen's doing it again next season, then he's likely to get in, especially if the Cavs are doing it. That's just the way it goes.
Right.
And yeah, I certainly, they don't deserve three all-stars, the Bucks. It was down to, I think, Drew or Chris. Both have a fairly strong case. Personally, I probably would have gone with Drew, but Chris gets in. I mean, he's not an overrated player. He's not a bad player. He's just maybe one that we don't appreciate as much as what he does out on the floor because he still drives us crazy sometimes. But he also can win games for the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
And he does that. So yeah,
just like Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
That's right.
Big shots.
Yeah. I'm not angry that Chris Middleton's in. I'm just disappointed that Jared Allen isn't in because I think I had him in before Garland on that team.
Right, right. So that's your biggest snub.
Yeah.
When it comes to it, though, you're obviously pointing out LaMelo Ball, Tass as well. There are a bunch of other names. We'll get to what about this guy, but and Middleton, like Joe Johnson, let's be honest too, doesn't scream of the all-star player type that you want to see in that game, like getting up and down the court, you
footwork,
know, incredible plays, yeah, above the rim play, like, you know, I mean, that maybe shouldn't matter at all, but it sort of does a bit, and that's why you wanted LaMelo Ball, Trey. You had him on your team because you're like, that guy screams all-star.
Totally.
A playmaker like that with the flair, you want him, but he's not there right now.
27-7 basically for LaMelo. The percentages are average, nothing too crazy, but you know, he's still only in his 20s, whereas Chris Middleton has established an NBA championship player, so he's getting the veteran nod. There's no doubt about it. My question is, who do you really blame for Jared Allen not making it? Is this more so on Chris Middleton making it to the team or Darius Garland taking over for the last month and a half on the Cavs, where they're like, okay, we're gonna have one Cav here? It's kind of been Garland who's stirring the drink since Sexton went down, since Rubio went down. Garland has picked up the slack there, and, you know, he obviously sets up both Allen and Mobley. It feels like he is the leader of the Cavs to me, but it felt like Jared Allen was going to be the guy up until January, pretty much, and then it turned into Garland. The other question I would have is, where my bigs at? From the front to back. Who's the tallest guy on the bench here?
Tatum,
I guess. Yeah. He might be 6'9 at this point. I don't know, but it's not looking good. I guess it's nice that they got Giannis and Joel Embiid, but no tallies. I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, and then to bring it back to KD, the captain, we don't know if he's playing in this game. Let's say he doesn't. Let's say, you know, the Nets don't want him to. He doesn't want to for whatever reason. So Adam Silver would get to name a replacement. I think what's fascinating is it's in Cleveland. Does he give the nod to Jared Allen, who's a big, too? You know, KD is a front court player, so they go that route. Or does Adam Silver go, oh, LaMelo Ball, everybody, he's already there for the Rising Stars. Everybody wants to see the guy in a game like this. And does he go with them? You can't really, there's no really wrong answer, I don't think. Both are deserving, as we're saying. What would you think he does, though, Tass? Would he match it because KD would be a front court player that they would add another one, or would he care at all?
No one cares about
that. No one cares.
I don't think the commissioner cares that a front court player is there and then he's got to play. I don't think that matters at all. And as far as the Jared Allen in the All-Star game experience, of course you want Jared Allen on your team, but do you want him on a Sunday dunking or dinking and dumping 4 feet away?
He would go 8 for 8 for sure.
We get to the drafting of players, LeBron and Kevin Durant would want Jared Allen on their team. You do the dirty work, get us some extra possessions, and you don't take any shots from the rest of us. Yeah, you want Jared Allen on your team, but everybody wants Melo, I think, as far as fans go, and so that would be the more exciting part. And, you know, there's a case to be made for Melo. he's the only guy amongst all these snubs that has a winning record and not be in the All-Star team. The Hornets are, you know, four, I think they're still four games above 500. And yeah, everybody else has won. And so yeah, it came down to with the Cavs, I think the coach is just two for you guys? Your first timers? No, not going to happen. And Garland is just universally loved. Everybody loves him. Did you see Draymond Green when they announced him? Draymond Green was so pumped on the TNT broadcast to see Darius Garland picked. And I guess they have a bit of a USA basketball history, but everybody just loves this guy. And he has been so key in his responsibilities so huge with Sexton and Rubio out. And I think Allen's responsibilities get transferred a little bit over to Mobley. So I was definitely happy that Garland got there over Allen.
Yeah, I'll push back against that a little bit because the Cavs have won a lot of games because they're an awesome defensive team. Mm-hmm. And that's mainly because of Jared Allen in the back line and other guys like Mobley. But he is the rock back there. Like 16 and 10 is no joke either offensively, but he's like the defensive presence has got them a lot of wins. And, you know, As is the case most times in an All-Star game, it's more about the offense, and I guess that's why Darius Garland gets the nod. And I think Trey's right. I think if we had done this the first month of the year, season, I think it's Allen, and then over the last couple months, it's Garland sort of has surpassed him there with the huge scoring games and still continuing to win, and the injuries to the other backcourt players. That's a big part, too.
But these guys are picked by coaches. They're not picked by fans.
Yeah, you're right.
So they deem that Darius Garland is more important.
Sure. Do you think when it comes to LaMelo Ball that it's possible? Because I don't think we've seen the results. Do we even ever find out who the coaches actually picked? No, we don't, do we? Yeah, that's sort of kept under lock and key. Yeah, but is it possible? Because Taz said it. The Hornets have a winning record. They're four games above 500. And we thought when we were making our teams, because it was so congested, we were like, okay, one or two for you, one 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 for you. And that didn't happen with the Hornets. But is it because maybe Miles Bridges is also a deserving All-Star? You know, he's a 20-point per game scorer. He's played really, really well. That they sort of cannibalized each other, maybe, like, split the vote? Is it possible or not?
I think so, I think so. I mean, LaMelo is their best player, but Bridges has had a really strong season for them. So that has helped. And when it comes down to this last selection, yes, you want LaMelo on the team. You want to see him. You want to watch him. But I think Jarrett probably just deserves it just a smidge over him because of the Cavs winning record, because of what Jarrett Allen has done for this team. So I would just tilt it in Allen's favor. And it's in Cleveland, so, you know, let's reward the Cavs. Tom Chambers in Seattle in 1987.
Oh, here we go.
He was a replacement player. He started the game, won MVP. It never happened again. So maybe Jarrett Allen could repeat that performance.
I mean, I'm with Skeets. If he gets into this game as an injury replacement, he's not going to miss a shot. Maybe. He could be going up against Gobert. We could see a Gobert and Allen meeting at the rim.
That's true.
But it's not out of the realm of possibility. He goes like 15 for 15 from the field and grabs 15 rebounds. Suddenly he's got a 30 and 15 in Cleveland. They would definitely give him the trophy. But just look up Rudy Gobert's basketball reference page. It took him until year 7 to make his first All-Star team. And I'm telling you, Jared Allen is Rudy Gobert all over again, just with longer hair. Much cooler is what people seem to think for some reason. People go to bat for Jared Allen way more than they ever did for Rudy Gobert. So I think he's just going to have to wait a little bit here.
Okay. What about some other just Eastern Conference snubs? You know, we've already said LaMelo. We already said Jared Allen, of course. Even Miles Bridges has both been thrown in there. Andrew Holiday. What's another name maybe that you're like, okay, they should get a little more love? Or is this where you want to draw the line?
Yeah. I'm tapped, I think. you go to a Jaylen Brown, I guess, as the next guy. But
okay. Jaylen Brown.
Now we're really milking it here. I think we're good.
Wow, there was a lot of uproar. Where's Tyler Hero?
And Pascal Siakam,
and
I guess.
Pascal Siakam.
Pascal recency bias for sure. Start of the season wasn't there. But Tyler Hero, I mean, they're 13 games over 500 to the Heat. So
And Jimmy's been out a good chunk of it. Yeah, he's an all-star. Yeah. Bam missed a ton. Kyle Lowry's now hasn't played in the last 10 games. Yeah. So he's back with the team. Nice to see.
And Tyler getting 20 points a game off the bench in 44 games.
Yeah, but how many all-stars have made an all-star team coming off the bench?
Manu Ginobili.
I know it's happened, but it's not very
Detlef,
frequent.
I think, Not many, but I just think if you're going to weigh up, because I value the winning as well, and if you're 13 games over, I think that strengthens your case.
I agree, but I also think like you've got to be almost like 10, 11 games clear of like other teams, and everybody's the same damn record.
Yeah, it is good. Right? Yeah, it is tight in the Eastern Conference. I just don't think Pascal started off the set. He's been on fire lately. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Averages 21-9-5, and his two-way play right now over the last month or so is amazing. Yeah, he's on the list, and then Sabonis with the numbers that he puts up on a losing team is is one of the names that you should throw out there, but no one really wants to see him anymore on the team.
I mean, yeah.
Thank
I
think you that's for saying all of them, it, though.
Yeah, yeah, those are the big snubs that we've gone through. Let's move to the West, then. Your starters, just to remind you, LeBron, he's the captain. He'll be drafting once again. We got Jokic, Andrew Wiggins. Yes, he's a starter. Steph Curry and Ja Morant. So, JD, the West reserves, again, in alphabetical order. Devin Booker with the Suns. Luka Doncic with the Mavs. Rudy Gobert of the Jazz. Draymond Green on the broadcast last night on TNT, telling him he got in. I love Chuck saying, of course you're going to make the team. We wouldn't have you on right now.
That's interesting. It's an interesting take.
It's amazing.
Kenny argued.
Yeah,
no,
like,
he's
no,
got to work.
We don't know. It's in the briefcase.
It's part, so it's part of his job that he has to work.
Yeah,
there.
He gets two paychecks now. Donovan Mitchell with the Jazz. He's in there despite missing a good chunk of time here recently with the concussion. I think he's coming back tonight. Maybe
he's cleared
the
protocol.
Yeah, yeah, cleared protocols. Chris Paul, that's a no-brainer. He's an all-star. And Karl-Anthony Towns, after missing the last couple, if I remember correctly, is back to being an all-star. All of those guys, by the way, I think is just a little note here, have all made it before. So the only first-time all-stars in the West are two starters in Wiggins and Ja Morant. But biggest surprise, biggest snub. Lee, get us started.
Honestly, there is not a snub this time.
Okay.
There's not a snub. The real question here is, because Draymond Green is not going to be playing.
He said on the show, I'm not playing. Somebody's
so,
the spot.
So he is going to be replaced. And that really comes down to the question now. And the players in that bracket there, DeJounte Murray, of course. Anthony Davis is there. Anthony Edwards. Jaren Jackson's getting some love. And I think it really should be DeJounte Murray. I think he should be the first guy considered by Adam Silver. He's averaging almost a triple-double. The wins aren't there, okay? So the wins aren't there. But again, when you're you don't deserve two All-Stars when your team's below 500. But I think DeJounte Murray has been the most sort of underappreciated star this season. He's been doing it at both ends of the floor.
He's averaging 29 and basically 9. Yeah, those are, you know, superstar numbers.
And giving them the defense as well. Yeah. So that's really the only question here. I don't think you could argue that anyone is not deserving in that reserve spot. I think everyone there. Now, Mitchell and Gobert have certainly missed time recently, and the Jazz haven't been as good, but their sort of body of work gets them in there. Obviously, Paul and Booker were going to make it. Draymond has been instrumental for the Warriors. And then Karl-Anthony Towns, the Timberwolves are back, maybe. Let's not get too carried away, but they're winning
back
again.
Back from what?
and Towns is deserving. So I think that's really the only question is who is that replacement?
Yeah.
My first choice would be DeJounte Murray, and then there's a few guys who each have strong cases after that.
Okay, Trey, what do you think?
Yeah, these were my seven that I had as reserves, so no surprise, no snubs. No snubs. but I'm with Lee. I would like to see DeJounte Murray be the guy to get in. The case was sold for me when he just destroyed the Bulls in the second half of the game they played, and they could not keep him out of the lane. He's the real deal, but my guess is that it'll be Anthony Davis, since he's made eight straight All-Star games. Going to be a little bit of a Joe Johnson, Chris Middleton, where you're like, maybe the season isn't his best season. He's been banged up a little bit, obviously, but the guy's still an all-star. And he's still one of the best in the league. And when he's playing at his best, he's one of the best of the league. So my guess would be Davis just on the pedigree, but Murray would be my personal choice.
So proud of the coaches not selecting Anthony Davis. Shocking. I thought he would just get the establishment guy, just get in there. And he could. He definitely could, as you said. Hopefully it's DeJounte Murray. You saw even Draymond Green on the broadcast getting pumped about just hearing DeJounte Murray's name. Everybody loves that guy. I guess Draymond Green just loves defense as well.
He loves clutch clients.
Oh, that's interesting. Business
Garland,
business move there.
Murray.
DeJounte Murray, he must have switched over, right?
AD, though, is clutch. Also clutch,
Yep.
Just not as clutch, I guess. It was close last night. Almost very clutch. I'm proud of proud of the coaches. Just saying.
You're proud of the coaches.
Yeah, just saying.
Nice,
and it's interesting that we found out yesterday it's not 29 coaches voting for the 14 reserves. It's you just vote for
just
your own conference without voting for your own player, of course. So, yeah, I would like to see DeJounte Murray in there, of course.
What do you think the reason for that is? The idea that, like, maybe
you
because of the schedule
basketball.
You haven't seen?
Yeah, it's
like, a team in the East hasn't played the Spurs. I don't know this for sure, but it's possible, I guess. Like, it's backloaded at the end of the season. It's like, oh, well, we haven't played DeJounte Murray. I cannot weigh in on him because I have not game planned for him or competed against him yet. But, yeah, you're right. We did get confirmation on that. I think it's DeJounte Murray is going to get selected here because there seems to be like a nice buzz for him there, even in San Antonio. But Trey makes a good point. Of all the players not on the All-Star team, like right now as a snub, the best of the best, it's Anthony Davis. Like, he's the best player when healthy.
Yes.
It's just like, that's just a fact. Because his numbers are even up from last year when he was an all-star, which is weird. I mean, they're up a little bit. He's averaging 24-10, you know, 2.5 blocks or a little bit under that. And outside of Montrezl Harrell, AD has the highest player efficiency rating of all the players not selected. So he's still, like, really, really efficient.
Yeah, shooting a cool 17% from three.
That one hurts. That one hurts. But, it's, I mean, it's also, yeah, he doesn't take a ton.
Not his thing.
The numbers are deceiving, though. Since he's come back in these last four or five games, he's been really good.
Yeah.
No question about it. Prior to that, he wasn't that good, even though he was putting up those numbers. And I understand, obviously.
But I'm saying if you lined up all the snubs, you're going, like, that guy's still the best guy.
He's still the best player, of course. But on the season we've seen, he's not. I don't believe he's more deserving than Jaren Jackson for what Jackson's done for his team, for the wins they've got, the record, the defense. He's doing it all. His numbers are better. But for what this should be, the representation of this season, I think Jackson... And Anthony Edwards has probably been better too.
Would you have Jackson Jr. ahead of Mikal Bridges in the wow, that guy's a deserving All-Star? Because there was a lot of buzz on Twitter last night. I mean, I saw Hollinger, a bunch of other people saying, well, Bridges might be a replacement for Draymond Green, a deserving one, seeing as the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, he's deserving, yeah. I think Jackson has been probably more instrumental for his team's success than Bridges has. I mean, again, the Suns have got so many contributors. Guys are doing a lot, but... I just the Anthony Davis one, that just upsets me. That's the only one that I'm angry about.
He's also missed a ton. More than every other guy.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler missed a ton of games.
About this guy? But we're talking about guys in the West. I mean, he's played 32 of 53 games. He's missed 21 games. The other guys, if we're comparing guys, DeJounte Murray, all these guys have played way more.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I also think if you think the league wants more Lakers representation, this will strengthen your case that they're like, yeah, let's just get more Lakers in because we want the eyeballs. I just don't think it's... I don't think
anybody is tuning into the All-Star game to see Anthony Davis.
No,
though.
But I'm really just saying...
And I'm going to bat for him right now.
If your team's below 500... They don't deserve two All-Stars.
Yeah.
One, max. That should be the rule from now on. If you're under 500, one max. You're not getting two.
Okay.
Because I think the Celtics last year were at 500 when both Brown and Tatum got in, and they lost like five in a row. So they had two.
Right. Yeah, looked rough.
And again, Jaylen Brown, we didn't really talk about him. Same sort of thing. He's had a strong season, but there's no way the Celtics deserve two.
Okay.
So.
Couple other guys, couple other snubs that we could chuck out there, though I think it is DeJounte Murray, then maybe Anthony Davis, then Jaren Jackson Jr. there, and even Bridges. But Anthony Edwards... For the Wolves, who are obviously a bit of a tear, they're back from what? We're not still sure, but he's obviously a scoring machine. And, I mean, people say, let's get LaMelo in the game because he's so charismatic and so, like, or not charismatic, so he's so electric, I should say, on the floor. I just want Anthony Davis there, a part of this, because the guy's hilarious. Edwards, yes. Getting my Anthony's mixed up. Anthony Edwards there, because he's just so goddamn funny. And you can imagine him doing some pretty hilarious things. I think he would, like, pants somebody in an All-Star game or something. He just bring the comedy element to an All-Star game. And then the only other name I have as a deep, deep West snub is Brandon Ingram. Who, as Trey pointed out the other day, when he plays, the Pelicans are actually like a 500 team.
They got a chance, at least.
Yeah, but, you know, he's had a really good, under-the-radar type of season on a really shitty team.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? That's about it.
No other guys.
I think that's it. Ingram has had a wild career when compared to all the other young Lakers guys. He's sort of flying under the radar there in New Orleans, but he can score anytime, any place. You got to like watching him play, but yeah, it's under the radar. He's still a great guy, though.
So if you are Silver, I just want to get this on record. You're taking DeJounte Murray to replace Draymond Green. You're taking
DeJounte Murray.
I'm accepting DeJounte Murray as well.
There might be another one because LeBron himself may not.
Interesting. So. Maybe open up the door for Anthony Davis.
Then they're definitely going to give it to Davis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the idea. Somebody that's like waiting to make their decision on whether or not they're going to watch the All-Star game to see if a Laker is named as an injury replacement. They're like, oh, I don't know. Wait a second. I'm hearing Adam Silver has added Anthony Davis. All right, my schedule for Sunday. I'll see you then.
I'm just saying it's like we need the glamour team in there because Knicks... The Knicks obviously have got not even a sniff.
they didn't even get a what about this guy?
No, exactly.
No.
Exactly.
I really don't think people are watching the All-Star game.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's more from the league. It's like, well, if one Laker's out, we can slip another one in there. I think that has a
You're probably right.
Yeah,
there's Lakers.
No Clippers either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, there's basketball fans in LA. Yeah, I get what Leah said. If they had zero All-Stars, get one in because, you want the Lakers on, quote-unquote, on TV.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
final question here from all of this All-Star talk. We do have the draft, like I said. It's going to be LeBron and KD. It's coming up next week, I guess, right? It's when they do the actual selections. We'll show you the entire player pool here, Trey. And there's two cues of this. Well, there's really four cues, but who gets drafted first and last from the starters, which are denoted there with the star, and then who gets drafted first and last from the reserves, if you were a guessing man or if you're one of the captains. What's Trey Kirby doing?
Went back and looked at the LeBron drafting reel, and it seems to be as long as he doesn't have a teammate available to be drafted, he's taking the best player out there. So I'm guessing he takes Giannis once again as the number one draft pick, which would be a good choice. But, I mean, his roster last year was ridiculous. Somehow LeBron had Giannis, Curry, and Doncic as his first three picks. What was going on?
And he always picked Lillard, so there's no Lillard for him to pick this year.
That's right. Okay, so then who goes last from the starter pool? Is it obvious Andrew Wiggins? Or
I think it's an obvious Wiggins. It's an OW.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, and then what about first and last from the reserves? Obviously, more names to pick from.
I think that the first pick... Who gets the first pick,
I think
actually?
It's KD, then, in that instance.
Yes, it does. It switches,
Right. Interesting.
So does he go Harden?
James Harden is now my pick.
Yeah.
I think he took Kyrie as his first pick last time around.
Not last year, but the last time.
The last time he had a draft. Yeah. So.
Okay, so you're going him just taking a Nets player. That's probably what he'll do. That'll be boring. And then, who goes last? Who goes last from this bunch?
I guess that's LeBron's pick.
Yeah, I guess so.
Rudy Gobert.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, man, okay. Yeah. Draymond Green had some choice words about Rudy last night. Did you watch the...
I didn't see that part of it.
Did you watch the unveiling?
Well, I thought when they announced Rudy Gobert that the words were silence. Draymond Green was usually excited about anybody picked, but then he just went... radio silence.
I think
on
it got
Rudy
even
Gobert's
quieter
selection.
For Donovan Mitchell. It was crickets
it was.
In the studio for
it
that
was.
Name.
It was.
And then, Draymond, making fun of Rudy Gobert about crying, because they were talking about, what if you don't get selected and all that, and he's basically, I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to cry or stuff like that. So, they were piling on the Jets. Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
And then Draymond went and did a 35-minute press conference after. He actually spent more time at the podium than he did on television. I get what you're saying, Dre. You need a podcast, TV, we know. Yeah. You don't get a lot of time to talk.
That's
it's
true.
Short.
That's true.
Commercials, bang, bang. He didn't get a lot of time to talk. So then he did a 35-minute press conference where he was just flipping. He was great. But, I think the silence speaks louder than any words.
Totally.
It was both Jazz players. Yeah.
What do you think of that? What do you make of that?
Well, they're not loved. I'm surprised a bit with Donovan, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think he's a bit more charismatic, I suppose. But Rudy is just not loved. He's not a loved guy by fans, by teammates or opponents. And that's just the way it is. He talks out there and, but Rudy's also a very, very good player.
Yeah.
So,
do you think he goes last in the All-Star draft?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so, because we're short on big guys.
Yeah, I don't.
Nah, these guys are... LeBron's not dumb. He's still building a team. He's like, I need a big guy. And, Valens off the board or something like that. He's not even there. Excuse
me. He also doesn't want to get close to the hoop in an All-Star game and let somebody else do that. He wants to stand behind the three-point line.
Yeah, LeBron's like, if I'm attacking, I don't want to go against Rudy Gobert. He's actually going to try and play defense in this game. Screw that. I'd rather have him on my team. I don't think he'll be last. That's my bold prediction. I don't know. It's
Middleton?
No, I feel like there's respect there from playing.
Well, that's the thing is you don't obviously get selected last. It's like it's just whoever's last man standing. So if it comes down to those last two, that's the key spot there.
Yeah.
Garland's going to be picked real high. I think they like the enthusiasm of the first-time guys. And people just love DG. Just called him DG for the first time in his history. I think Darius Garland is going to be picked high. Mark it down.
look, it's an amazing story from being undrafted in 2016 to now being an All-Star. I'm talking about Freddie All-Star. Van Vliet could be last. I could see that. There's a lot of guards.
There's a lot of guards.
So many guards.
There's a lot of guards.
So, he could still be there at the end, and then he's
I'm just trying to think if there's any connection between LeBron and Van Vliet or Kevin Durant, because sometimes it could be like, that's my bro, but can't sort of think of anything off the top of my head here.
All right, well, let's hear from everybody out there. When it comes to your thoughts on the reserves that were selected last night, on who should be the injury replacements for Draymond Green, at least, and possibly Kevin Durant, maybe even LeBron, who were the big snubs, and... when it comes to the actual draft next week, who's going first and last in both of the pools, the starters and reserves? Let's hear from everybody in the stream team and everybody listening later. Tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. or leave your thoughts in the comments below the video. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll get to last night's games, some news, and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Back in the Classic Factory for a Friday drop. As I said off the top of the show, some really entertaining games last night, so let's break a few of them down. We'll start with Trae Young scoring 43 points as the Hawks end the Suns' 11-game win streak. Lee, Hawks were on fire from downtown.
They certainly were. Trae Young was incredible. I nearly made a late mad dash down to the Fortress last night because the Suns' only time they're in town, I was like, I haven't been for a while. Maybe I should go down. Didn't go down, and I regretted it this morning because it was a banger of a game. Probably the Hawks' biggest win of the season against a team that had won 11 in a row. Mm-hmm. Hawks have won 8 of 9, 8 straight with Trae Young. And Trae Young last night, 43 big, big points and 5 assists. Hit some huge threes, as we mentioned there. But what I really liked about his game is, sometimes when he takes those deep long threes, now he's earned that reputation, he can take them. You sometimes think maybe not right now, but he can hit them. But he doesn't just settle for those. He really does mix his game up. He goes inside. And early on last night, it seemed like they were trying to trap him. And he went right past DeAndre Ayton. He's so quick like that. And then they hung back a little bit. They went a bit deeper on him. And he's got that little floaty, flicky, pushy thing that he does there. And that worked. And the Suns tried everyone on him. Bridges, Paul, Booker, Cam Johnson got a go at him as well. Trey's handle is so tight that he very rarely just loses possession. And he's fast and he's got that ability to change pace and speed, which really makes it tough. And then when the Hawks move the ball and they get open looks underneath, whether it's an oop to like a John Collins or Capella, whoever's there, or they kick it out and you've got Kevin Huerta knocking down.
Oh, you would have been blowing so many Korver kisses last night.
And Gallinari can hit him. Like that ball when it's moving around, the Hawks just look so much better. And over these last 9 games, they've got the 4th best defense in the league, and I think that's a key for why they've been winning. Another key is getting guys back, but also at this point of the show, usually it's like, you know, then Chris Paul in the fourth quarter took over and closed it out for his team. He didn't do that last night. He didn't score in the fourth quarter. He still had 3 assists, but the funniest part of this game was when Trae Young was dribbling the ball up and Chris Paul sort of bumped into him and the foul was caught on Chris Paul, and then Chris Paul, it was like, oh, he's flopping all over the place like this. A classic. Chris Paul should have been shaking his hand saying, well done, man. You got me. You got me. That's my move, man. Yeah, you stole my move and it worked.
That was the Spider-Man meme.
Exactly, yeah. And Trae Young did a couple of those last night where he sort of does that stop start and he got the foul. They're trying to sort of eradicate that. It wasn't too egregious, but he was still sort of doing it. But overall, really, really good win here by the Hawks because they hung on. They got that lead and they didn't give it back against the best team, the hottest team right now in the NBA. And again, I mentioned those defenders. I think that's really important here. The Trae got this on 16 of 25 shooting. He got to the free throw line 7 times, 6 for 11 from downtown. So he got his 43 points extremely efficiently against a fantastic defense.
Yeah.
And this was a really impressive win from Atlanta.
Yeah, the Hawks have now won 8 of their last 9, the only loss coming on Monday to the Raptors there. And Trae Young didn't play in that game because of the shoulder contusion. I like here in the Eastern Conference, which is already like jumbled up as we talked about, we got the Hawks, We got the Celtics and we got the Raptors getting their shit together here. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make this even more competitive because those three teams are, you know, slowly working their way up the Eastern Conference standings as a couple other teams sort of flounder a little bit. So I'm very excited for when we have like all 10 teams with the same record.
Yeah.
And it's all decided by tiebreakers. But yeah, what'd you see from this one last night?
Yeah. And just further that point, usually the play-in tournament gets poked at a little bit and made fun of a little bit. Who are these 9th and 10th place teams that are just going to get slammed in the first round? Well, now
they could be really
these
good
teams.
Are
legitimate. Yeah. So you could have 10 winning teams when it all is said and done because these Hawks are for real, especially with Trae Young playing like that. This was the salivate game. I mean, just watching him play was my mouth was open watching him just watching.
Your mouth was open like Murph?
Yeah, a little bit for sure.
Pop a toxic waste and just start drooling everywhere.
Total saliva. I had a toxic waste. I was still toxic wasting from those candies that we had in that video. Yeah, that was a great trade game. I mean, he was focused too. You could even tell his body language. He stopped smiling. He didn't pull out the ice tray thing until the absolute last possession when he buried that three, when it was a real hectic possession and the Suns were pressing like it was high school basketball and the Hawks were jumbling and they turned it over multiple times there down the stretch. That's when he pulled it out because he was all business in this game. Mm-hmm. He was so smart. He absolutely picked apart the second best defense in the league. And he makes John Collins so much more effective when he's like that, when he's able to get into the lane and John Collins is just chilling in the dunker spot, getting all cozy down there. And John Collins had such an efficient game. And unfortunately, he left the game separated shoulder, most likely. We don't really know, but it sure looked that way. Hopefully he's all right because the Trae experience here, I think Trae's got a little second half. I mean, I'm going on this season and last season, but he turns it on in the second half.
Undeniable.
You know, this is what he does, and here we go. He's on a run here, and the Hawks just have to jump on his back. This is so fun now. It was a terrible start to the season for them, but I say it, he gets focused on the offensive end and then on the defensive end. He fights more. He's fighting over screens. He's in the passing lanes. He's the player that the Hawks need him to be, and it felt like him and MSG in the playoffs last night. I think this was his best game of the season, even though he's had higher scoring games. This was a phenomenal game against the Suns.
Did you look into getting standing room only tickets?
Yeah, they were only like $60, I think.
Oh, yeah. Only?
I know.
SRO?
Yeah.
Standing?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh.
I was like, do I want to get down there for it? I mean, I was like, what if they just get blown out? But I don't know.
That's a horrible
thing. I know.
Playing well recently. The Suns are a fun watch. Yeah.
The Suns are a great watch, yeah. Yeah. But
Hawks couldn't miss. I mean, 20 of 41 from three. That's going to help your chances to win a lot of games, and it was still close, so Phoenix is probably not upset about that. Anything to add to that one?
Nope. Okay. 124 points against the second-best defense in the league. That's quality stuff.
That's quality stuff.
So does this now mean that the Hawks are the hottest team in the league? I always wonder how that goes. Yeah. Or are the Suns still the hottest team in the league? They've won 11 to 12.
Yeah, I think they have to still retain the title.
Okay.
I mean, the Warriors have won 8 straight.
Oh.
It's true. A little sneaky there. Under the radar.
Yeah, it's quite under the radar. Under the radar also, Kevin Huerter starting in this game. I know he started a lot, but Bogdan Bogdanovic come back. Who's the starter there? It sure seems like Herter's more of a ball mover. Playmaker, the secondary playmaker that Trae needs beside him. So I think they stick with this.
Probably.
But Bogdan is a plain good soldier. You know, he could have gone to the Bucks. The trade almost happened, and he could have been a starter on that team. You know, they're starting whoever they start, a Grayson Allen type spot at the shooting guard spot. Didn't happen. But I think now it feels like this rotation is set with Kevin Huerter. Kayvon, as they call him when he has good games.
Yes, that's right. All right, our next game from last night. Siakam scores 25 points as the Raptors beat the Bulls 127 to 120 in overtime. This, of course, the No Dunks Bowl, and my God, it was entertaining down the stretch, TK.
Yeah, I think I speak for everybody when I say, yo, 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 the Raptors win another classic No Dunks Bowl. Three bangers this season between the Bulls and Raptors. For me, there are really three plays that kind of told the whole story of this game. The first one, the game is tied at 112, 15 seconds left. The Bulls have an absolutely terrible possession. Almost gets stolen two different times. Somehow gets to Vucci right underneath the hoop. He barely beats the clock to put the Bulls up too. 30-18 for Vucci last night. He was playing great on offense. He's been honestly really great since the Memphis game, pretty much. On fire doing things ever since then. But then on the other end, the next play that really defined the game. Bulls do a good job defensively on a Van Vliet and Siakam pick and roll. But Scotty Barnes tips in the game-tying bucket with 0.7 seconds left. One of 22 offensive rebounds for Toronto. That was a huge storyline throughout the game. Then in overtime, Raptors are up 2 with 40 seconds left. The Bulls get a nice steal off of Van Vliet and Chris Boucher pick and roll, but Io throws it right to Gary Trent Jr., like right
he
after.
I guess he saw Zach LaVine sort of like taking off.
Oh, man. I was like, yes! No!
There was a lot of that in this game last night. For both teams.
And it was made worse because as the possession continues out, the Bulls just kind of gave up on the play, forgot what was happening, lost track of Gary Trent Jr. He's been on fire for the past couple of weeks. Bang. That was the game right there. 17 turnovers for the Bulls. Two bad ones for Io in clutch situations here. So between the turnovers, 17, and the offensive rebounds, 22, the Raptors took 113 shots. You give any team 113 shots, they're going to score enough points for a win. But that was a an awesome game to watch.
Yeah, I was getting ready, I got to be honest, to tweet death by Vooch.
Death by Vooch.
Because the Raptors were up like a decent amount. I think they had it like 8 or 10, you know, maybe halfway through the fourth quarter. Okay, they're looking good. And then there was just like these really easy baskets for Vooch. There was like no defensive like pushback from the Raptors. Like, what are you, like, this is just too easy. He scored again. Then he had the one that was like hilarious, like Trey talked about, the play that was just pure insanity. I'm like, well, once he hits that, I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't the Raptors' night. And somehow they get it to overtime because Barnes, how many times this season has this rookie like got a game to overtime or taken the lead late on a tip, like on an offensive rebound, or even like just missed one? I think that's happened too. I think it's like 3 or 4 times already.
He's amazing. He's got the nose. He's got the nose for that tip. It's a little Ron Artest like. I don't know. It just feels like he just is there every time.
Yeah.
Late games, he just does not give up and he's there. Yeah, whether he misses or not.
Gets a hand on it.
Gets a second possession. Yeah, because sometimes Fred's shots don't go down. I know he was the entire Raptors staff was very pissed on the Scotty Barnes tip that Fred VanVleet's shot was not called a foul.
Yeah.
I mean, he went hard to the floor. I get it. But it was a last second shot. Shot with the left. You know, a little Conley-esque. He's, he keeps going with his offhand there at the end of game possessions. He keeps going to the left hand, even when it's just a little push shot. And Scotty! Scotty's so good at that. Yeah, he got it right. So, yeah, 113 shots. That's Scott Mitchell. Why did I call him Scott? That's Sam Mitchell territory. He was Raptors head coach. More shots! I know this went into overtime, but 13 boards. Yeah, can you Google Scott Mitchell for me, please?
Yeah, former quarterback, if I'm not mistaken.
Nah, I don't know who that... yeah, he's the Lions lefty, number 19. Yeah, I don't think that's who I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, the Raptors, as we call them, the hot name for a team that does it by committee is the team that does it by ensemble, the ensemble. And the Raps got four guys scoring 20 plus points.
Yeah, they don't win this game if OG probably doesn't hit two timely three-pointers in overtime too. Both that were like pretty well guarded. I think both of them on DeRozan.
DeRozan both.
But like he was on him in the corner and OG just rose up over him, hit that one, and then the other one on the wing. But those were huge shots. And this is, a quality win here and a really, really fun game.
What a week it's been for the Raptors. I mean, starting
every game, heart attack, man. No.
And they had the triple overtime on Saturday in Miami. They come to Atlanta, get the win. No Trae Young, you mentioned, fine. Then they beat Miami, have to come back against the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
They hang on last night against the Bulls, and then they play again tonight. It feels like they're playing every single night right now. They got the Hawks, actually, tonight back at home there. So if they can close out this week, you know, with five straight wins, that'll be pretty impressive. And Gary Trent Jr., the streak, the 30-point streak came to an end, but it doesn't matter. He hit the biggest shot of the night.
That's right. That's right. Chris Boucher played really well for the Raptors, too. Instrumental on the boards. I think he finished with, I don't have it in front of me, 16-10 maybe or something like that. Good game from Boucher. Yep. And
16
and Precious did work on the board. Everybody was rebounding for the Raps, and they pulled it out. All right, another great game. Crazy, crazy stuff at the end. Go watch the highlights to the ending of the Clippers-Lakers game, but Reggie Jackson's layup propels LAC past the Lakers 111-110.
Yeah, Lakers came back. This is what they do. They're down 17 and a big fourth quarter comeback, and it was great at the end because both teams hitting shots. Not easy shots whatsoever. You had the Lakers and Russell Westbrook hitting a jumper. Then Westbrook connected with Anthony Davis for a huge alley-oop, but the Clippers would not be denied. He had a Marcus Morris who hits tough shots.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That one was contested.
Yeah, it was contested. He had to regroup there at the three-point line. Had a guy in his peripheral. Didn't matter. Banged home a three. But Reggie Jackson was able to give the lead to the Clippers there with that layup where the Lakers were not playing incredible defense. Great sign, though, for the Lakers, I think, is that Anthony Davis wanted to win this game and wanted to take that last shot to try and overcome Reggie Jackson's layup there. They're down one, end-to-end. Anthony Davis takes it all himself, goes in and out, so much rim. And he watched that, apparently, our Bill Aram wrote about. Anthony Davis went back to the locker room and just looked at that thing. I'm not sure what his device of choice was, but he's looking at an iPad, looking at a phone, and just was shocked that it rimmed out.
Yeah.
And totally, it was shocking. But I say, big picture, Anthony Davis wanted to take that shot. He wanted to be the best player on the floor. He's 30-17 again, two games in a row where he's 30-15. Now, the LAs, these two teams are 8th and 9th in the standings. So I think, as much as I like to poke fun at the play-in tournament, like, why do we need 20 teams in the frickin' quote-unquote playoffs? Well, these two teams are very good, and maybe the 10th place team ain't that good, but in years past, these Lakers and Clippers would be really worried that they're not going to make the playoffs. But in this season, the Lakers got to be so happy that the play-in tournament has been included. Hmm. They just aren't going to fall out of it. The league's also got to be happy. As Lee said, you want some LA teams in the playoffs, mainly the purple and gold. Mm-hmm. The Clippers aren't a huge draw, let's be honest, unfortunately. But it's a weird situation for both those teams, because the Clippers just got out of their really toughest part of the schedule, winning some wild ones. They beat the Wizards in that huge comeback. They beat the Lakers here. And they're surviving. They're surviving without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They're 500. So both these two teams are not going to fall out, and unfortunately, they have injuries that they're waiting for. Paul George is going to be out a few more weeks with an elbow injury. Is Kawhi going to come back? I mean, eventually these two guys have to come back playing good ball. They can't just sit out for months and months and months and just come back in the playoffs. So they have to, if they're going to make a run, they need, like, 6 good weeks of basketball at the very least at the end of the regular season. And, Bron is also just hanging around. But with that knee injury, I should say. So it's a good sign that Anthony Davis is taking over, and these two teams, hopefully, if they get healthy again, it's going to be a dogfight in the East with all these play-in tournament teams that are good, and the same goes for the West if they're healthy.
The most surprising teams of the All-Star break are obviously the Cleveland Cavaliers. Nobody had them this good. And then the Memphis Grizzlies, mm-hmm. though people were high on them maybe, but not, one of the elite teams in the West. I think the Clippers are third on my list of surprising teams. I can't believe they're 500. This team is not that great without Paul George, or of course Kawhi Leonard. Paul George has only played in half their games, and I don't think he's going to win it, but Ty Lue deserves some love for Coach of the Year with what he's getting out of this crazy roster of Jackson and Morris and Mann and Kennard and Bledsoe and Batum and Zubats and, like, Coffey and Boston Jr. I mean, they use a lot of guys. Serge now back. I mean, it's pretty commendable that they're at 500. Even in a play-in sort of race here. I think it's amazing, because I thought they would be garbage without those guys.
I think Ty Lue's a great coach. I think last season they came back from 2-0 down against the Jazz without Kawhi and won that series, and then they pushed the Suns in the NBA Western Conference Finals as well. I think he's done really well. He was obviously on the bench when they came back from 3-1 down the Cavs in 2016, so I think he is a real player's coach here. But I thought last night Reggie Jackson coming galloping down the court to see that's my defense. That guy's going to defend me. He went straight at him, and Reeves is kind of being picked on a little bit here. I think Westbrook just, the screen came, Westbrook was there, and then Westbrook just left him.
He did.
And allowed Reggie Jackson to spin without any resistance, and then he got a layup at the rim there. So I think Reeves is the one who's getting a little bit more harshly treated here than Westbrook should be. And to be fair, I will give Westbrook credit. I thought he made some good, smart choices late in this game. Those mid-range shots, attacking the hoop, and then throwing that oop to Anthony Davis.
And he hit Monk, I think.
And he hit Monk, yeah. So his actual decision-making in this game wasn't bad, except for that one. He just got a bit sloppy. If you're going to trap a guy, trap him.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that.
Yeah.
He just sort of left his man like that. But the other point I had from this game was Kevin Harlan loves saying Isaiah Hartenstein. What's his name? Hartenstein.
There we go.
It sounded awesome on the broadcast there.
Harlan was loving this game last night.
Oh, yeah.
Week. We got a close one. They're trading basket for basket here. He was going nuts. Anything to add, TK, to this one?
It's worth looking up some Malik Monk highlights from this game, I would say. Some of the greatest mean mugs we've seen in the NBA this season. The guy was like flexing after every single make he had. 21 points on 19 shots. So respect. I love it. I was like, this is a J.R. Smith-esque performance right now. Shooting it every time, flexing every time he makes it. And if you miss, who cares? So yeah, that and Reggie Jackson had two really nice takes in the last minute of this game. Getting to the hoop every single time. Good stuff.
The other three games on last night, we'll go through them one at a time. TK's got a line or two about each, I bet. Tyler Hero and the Heat dominate the shorthanded Spurs 112-95 to end their skid.
Yep, Hero scored 24. The Spurs didn't have a bunch of their guys playing, and Kyle Lowry came back for the Heat after missing nine games. He only scored 2 points in 25 minutes, but he brought something even more important than points to the Heat. You know what it was, Lee? Smiling.
Smile, Lowry.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. Eric Spoelstra said, "Everything's great. I couldn't help but to smile walking into shoot around this morning. Seeing him there is special." So yeah, call him Smile Lowry. It really works because he's teammates with Smiler Hero. Bam out of Smilo.
Yep.
Nice.
Max Tooth.
Max Tooth.
What's up,
Max? I'm looking.
You're still too.
Smile Lowry.
Come on, Kyle Guy. You can do it.
A smile Guy.
There you go. It was right there. It was too easy. Okay. Yeah, nice to have Kyle back, of course. And good win. Yeah, Spurs missing a lot of guys. Anthony Edwards and Towns, they lead the Timberwolves past the Pistons 128-117 in our pick'em game, which we'll get to later. But yeah, what do you have on this one?
25 for Edwards, but his best highlight of the night was making reporters wait while he put in an order for McDonald's and then said, "I love Minnesota." Just like, "I love Minnesota. Don't let me order McDonald's while I'm up here trying to talk about basketball." Honestly, inspiring stuff. I played pick-up basketball this morning. So I went through a McDonald's drive-in right after.
Whoa!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got two McMuffins and then dropped a piece of ham into my center console. What if that happened to Anthony Edwards? ordered McChickens.
Yeah, I was going to say, you ordered McChickens. Yeah, were you surprised by that? Doesn't go straight Bergs?
Well, it seemed to be the last thing he was ordering. He was like scrolling quite a bit. So maybe it was like his secondary sandwich. That's what I assumed anyways. Maybe he ordered the Big Mac meal. And he's like, I'm going to still be hungry. Let me get a McChicken here.
Okay.
It's underrated. The McChicken's underrated. Though. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the it's Filet-O-Fish? Are you a Filet-O-Fish guy at McDonald's?
No.
I'm not, but some people think
I like the Filet-O-Fish, but I probably haven't eaten one in like 20 years.
Yeah.
Only on Good Friday. Just on Good Friday.
Nice.
Okay. And final game. Klay Thompson dazzles from deep, says the AP, as the Warriors beat the Kings 126-114. He was on fire in this.
Season high, Klay did last night.
What a weird way to
say
that.
What a weird sentence that was. 23 points for Klay Thompson, tied a season high, and he hit 7 threes in the process. It's the third time this season that he's gone for 20 or more points. All of them have come at the Chase Center. I haven't seen someone look at this at home in the Bay Area since Danny Tanner.
I like it.
From the television show Full House.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Danny Tanner, he was so at home that he had three grown men living in his house. That's pretty weird. Right?
Himself included.
But he did all the cleaning.
Wow.
Yeah. He did all the cleaning.
Why don't you pitch in, Uncle Joey?
He was a funny man. He brought the entertainment to the house.
Their dog was named after a cleaner product.
Comet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So much. Well, I think Uncle Joey lived in the basement, though. Right?
Yeah.
He probably had his own kitchen.
Hold on. I thought one of them lived in like the living room at one point. Remember that?
Oh,
like there was like that little Reno's cove in the back.
Yeah, that was Joey actually lived
he
there.
Lived
yeah,
there,
yeah.
Didn't
yeah. I thought Jesse was downstairs.
I thought Jesse lived in the attic.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesse was upstairs.
Jesse lived up.
Jesse.
He lived in a bedroom at one point too. Because I remember they made a hole in his wall once. Or was it Danny's room?
You got to write some different stuff.
You'd want the musician downstairs though, wouldn't you? That's where Uncle Jesse.
He had to give up the band when he got with Rebecca, though.
Yeah, but he still used to write them for their little jingles for the commercials and stuff.
Full House. Danny. We'll have to put up that certified classic.
Nice.
Okay, so those are the games from last night. Do have a little bit of, I guess you can call it, trade deadline news. Little juicy little nugget here from the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor. He says the Jazz are looking to add a strong wing defender ahead of next week's trade deadline. They've discussed deals for two players, Lee. Pistons forward Jeremy Grant and Kings forward Harrison Barnes. I think it's more likely Barnes' move than Jeremy Grant. We talked about that a little bit before. Would the Kings trade Barnes to the Jazz for something like Joe Ingles' contract and, you know, some sort of draft compensation there. Is that enough to get it done for
them? Probably, yeah, yeah, if you're the Kings.
And do you think the Jazz should do something like this?
Oh, I think they have to. I mean, yeah, like, the fact that Joe Ingles is out for the season now means he cannot come back. But the business rolls on, and that contract now could still help the team out. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Joe Ingles would be like, I can't believe you traded me. I think he'd understand the business side of it. But I think even without the injury, they needed, and they were actually reported to be looking into something like this anyway. Yep. Because as good as Ingles has been, and Bogdanović the same, looking a little bit slow and a little bit old on the perimeter, they needed an upgrade in that position anyway. So I think if you could get either one of these guys, I think Grant's the better defender of the two, but Barnes is probably can give you a little bit more offensively. So whichever one you can get will help you out. But the Jazz need to do something, I think, because they're in win-now mode, and they're just slipping a little bit out of touch, I think, with the top teams, particularly in the West.
Yeah, what do you think about KOC's report here? Trying to get a wing defender on the Jazz. Makes sense?
Yeah, those would be incredible gets, I think.
One of them, yeah.
Jeremy Grant or, yeah, Harrison Barnes would help out a lot. I don't think they have enough to get him, to be honest. I think somebody's going to offer more for Jeremy Grant than what the Jazz have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And probably same goes for Harrison Barnes. You know, he would warrant a little bit less, but he can help. He's won a championship as, you know, third or fourth guy. So I don't know if the Jazz have enough.
I wonder if the Jazz can make a move for, like, Kyle Anderson.
That seems more attainable to me if, like, the centerpiece of it is going to be Ingles' contract. He's not going to be playing for the rest of the season. Because, like Tass is saying, Jeremy Grant and also Harrison Barnes are kind of going to be big names, it feels like, at the trade deadline. And players that are desirable to lots of teams who can just slot them in and upgrade their teams pretty easily. So you would think you'd have to give up more than Ingles if that's the main thing. But Kyle Anderson, I think that's not a... That's a little bit more in line with the return that you would expect.
Yeah. The only weird part about that is always, like, it's like the Grizzlies are great, and then, you know, he has a role on that team. And do you want to rock the boat? There's all that, but you got to sort of look ahead, too, with your books and all. I get that. But, like, do you want to trade him to a team that you possibly could be playing in a playoff series? It's like, yeah, he would help them for sure. Part of the second unit there, Kyle Anderson. Defensively, and then just moving the ball. He doesn't need shots and stuff like that. Yeah.
He's got that weird offensive game as well, where it's like he can be effective. Yeah. Even though it looks like he's too slow and he doesn't know what he's doing, he gets inside and kind of Euros his way in and can score. So, yeah.
It would be great. It would be great if the Jazz got someone. You know, looking at the Western Conference playoff picture, I think everybody's, you know, pooping on the Jazz right now, which I guess, they've had a lot of injuries, but I think they could easily be a threat to anybody. So it'd be nice to bolster their ensemble.
There it is. There's that word again.
Jazz ensemble.
That's
good.
They do it by committee.
That is good.
That's very good.
Kyle Anderson's coming in playing the tuba. Donovan Mitchell's lead sax.
Yeah.
You know, solo. But Anderson's a tuba.
What's Rudy playing?
Rudy, the French horn.
The harp, because you need to have that. You have big long arms.
I see it.
Jazz harp.
We are less than a week from the NBA trade deadline.
Yeah.
It's on
Thursday.
Where
are trades at?
Yeah, where are trades at? Let's get some emergency podcasts up in this classic factory. Hopefully something happens over the next couple of days. We're going to take one more break. We got lots more still on the drop. Five Star Friday, Tweet of the Night, Pick'em Results, and Rapid Fire. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, so bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian? No. I did not know that.
No, I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Yeah, a little five-star Friday. It's the first Friday of the month. Trey goes and scours our five-star ratings and reviews across our many number of platforms and finds the best ones.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a lot of scouring, really scraping the bottom of the barrel for these five-star reviews. Not this month.
Yes.
This was a great crop. I had to cut the Capono tracker. Capono tracker was back. Didn't make it. Sorry.
Oh, Tass was tweeting about Capono last night.
He was at a game last night.
Yeah.
Yep. That's just how it is.
Okay.
It's ruthless out here. Someone also just pasted the intro to the Pacers Wikipedia page as their review, which I thought was funny, but if you want to look it up, go ahead and do it. Nonetheless, these are your five-star reviews coming to you from Apple Podcasts. This is from BH816. Best podcast for watching the last few minutes of Bones. This is the perfect podcast for watching muted television. Have you ever tried interpreting the plot of the back half of a Bones episode? Of course you have, because you're an NBA fan. Please just listen to this show. Thank you for my life back.
Nice.
It's kind of a good idea for a podcast. Like, for an NBA podcast to break down, like, the last 3 minutes of an episode of Bones.
Love it.
Just because you turn it on, you're like, well, this is on before TNT.
I love it. I've seen every episode of Bones, but only the final couple minutes.
What do you think is happening in Bones? Who is Bones? It's David Boreanaz.
I have no
idea.
He
is Bones?
I have no clue.
Or the doctor is Bones.
I just see them always, like, there's always, like, at the end of every episode, it feels like there's a fun, like, little smiley exchange between the two leads. Like, and because it's at the end of the episode, I guess they've cracked the case, or I don't even know what they're doing. What are they doing?
There is a fan of the show who is on Bones, Eric Milligan.
Fan of our show?
Yeah.
Well, let's get him on.
Yeah.
Let's ask him about all the Bones episodes. What happened in the first...
all Bones.
45 minutes.
No,
okay.
From the producers of No Dunks comes All Bones. Our next five-star review comes from Larry from Detroit. Five big ones. An Aussie, a Chi-Town boy, a Canadian, and a Greek man walk into a bar. Sounds like the beginning of a great joke? Nay. A great NBA podcast. Two thumbs up.
Hmm.
Are two thumbs up equal to five stars?
Yes, they are. Yeah, because if someone says, hey, you like something, you go, yeah, they go, oh, okay. But if you go, oh, yeah, give me some of that, yeah.
Well said.
All right, the going rate for five stars is two thumbs. One thumb equals 2.5 stars?
I feel like
it's more three.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's go three.
Speaking of three, this is our third five-star review. Comes to us from Championship Man. Championship man. Funny boys. Great travel pod about an Australian citizen of the world. He hangs with his friends and they occasionally discuss composting, beans, and occasionally basketball, along with his epic world travel and long descriptions of photos of him standing in front of stuff.
We should just change our, like, podcast, like, little write-up for the show to that. That's what it really is.
I can't believe, you know, we're talking about a thing that happened back in 2003 in Philadelphia, and I don't have a photo of me standing.
That was so...
I don't know what's going on.
We did have a little development with that, though.
Right.
We have the audio of you at the game. We're not going to play it right this second. I think we're going to put together a little, like, a little special video for our YouTube feed. But, yeah. We have the audio of you at this game, randomly, Sixers Magic game in what,
2003, yeah.
But for some reason, you're not on camera.
Wow.
But you're talking to D. Lineham.
D. Lineham, yeah. How'd you get that?
Someone sent it in.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Why are you playing dumb right now?
I thought you had some scoops or something.
No.
I've been back and forth with Dad a couple of times because he's got all my photo archive. I said, Dad, is
it it's like a Lee Ellis museum at Dad's house.
Well, it used to be very fun on the WhatsApps. I said, Dad, if you're around, can you dig out this photo? He said, I'll have a look and I'll check it out. Now he doesn't even respond. He just puts the photos there. I think he's like, all right, stop bothering me.
So that the disappointing part is we don't have a photo of you and your girlfriend at the time at this game.
Right.
We have just blurry photos that you took of the game. Like,
that's what's
no
even
good.
Weirder is I had a digital camera. It doesn't look like a digital camera. It looks like I used a camera from like the 1970s.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I gotta check things out. I know I did have multiple cameras at the time because that was when Digi started to become really big.
Right.
And they were super expensive. And I bought a dodgy one off online somewhere. And I think I might have used that, but I also had my actual Canon CyberShot at the time. So I don't know what happened.
Hey, did you reach out to Anna? To sweet Anna?
No.
She might have a photo of the two of you at the game.
I was the chief photographer.
All right. This guy had a Canon CyberShot and a dodgy Digi.
And I had the old film. I had the old just regulation film. So I was like paparazzi. I was like... And I couldn't get a decent one. I had three cameras. I got crappy photos.
Man. I can't believe you didn't ask somebody in the stands, like a row in front of you, hey, do you mind taking a photo of me and
I
and
can't
girl
believe
Anna?
I wasn't like, someone take a photo of me and
D. Lynam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
I don't know, man.
All right. Well, we'll do something with this audio. We have the... Oh, it's incredible. We have the audio of you, but somehow not the video. It's weird.
Just a little teaser here. Once you hear that audio... There's a great John Amici joke.
Yeah,
just for you. Just
the audio,
waiting for you.
Is even better than I thought it would be. That's the amazing part. I'm just so disappointed. We don't have one. All I wanted one photo of you in your jersey and Anna in her jersey, whatever you guys are wearing, your Iverson gear. Okay. Anyway.
Fourth review from Air Squeeble. Otis Thorpe would be proud. So I'm not sure about the Otis Thorpe obsession. But the pod is great. Mm-hmm. Seriously, though, if you're like me and are tired of the other hosts of the world yelling at their co-hosts, check out this pod. It's a breath of fresh air to have sports hosts laughing instead of whining and yelling. They're also very knowledgeable. The Poppin' Packs episodes are great because I get to jog my memory about random players of my youth, like Anthony Peeler.
All right, so a fan of Poppin' Packs.
Fan of Poppin' Packs, yeah. I like that.
And we did say our next Poppin' Packs, we may try and do some like more recent NBA basketball cards. Like, why not? Switch it up.
Sure,
you know, we're like, because we're always doing the same, like,
three-year
window, it feels like. Which is why we're really into Otis Thorpe, and we're always trying to hope to get one. But
obsessed.
I think we just switch it up, and we also got some crazy, like, what did we get yesterday from
It was a TV show.
We got, like, Power Rangers cards and stuff like that.
There was a pack of Aladdin cards.
Oh, yeah, there's some strange.
JD's probably going to barge in for that one, isn't he? You're a big Aladdin head, aren't you, JD? Is that right?
Yes. Big Aladdin head.
No?
I mean,
that just surprises. Sometimes you come out and you'll be like, ah, well, you'll talk about the casting or the directing or something like that, and you might get in on it. So,
I might jump in on the Aladdin pack, but I wouldn't call myself an Aladdin.
No, we got some Marvel cards.
Okay, Avengers.
Devin Stump sent those in. He also sent in an Otis Thorpe. Specifically, just solo, just flying solo in a package. Otis Thorpe flying around, and some recent cards. Yeah, we'll get to them for sure.
Yeah, popping packs probably next week for sure. So,
all right, our final 5-star review.
Whoa,
yeah,
that's a book, man.
Yeah, it's more of a menu actually. This one's from Marshall from Atlanta. Any of you guys write this one? I know you didn't. It's too long. Who's at the table is the title. How would you go about picking the best podcast of all time? You might picture it like a restaurant with one table for the most important guests. This table, reserved for what we might call the most valuable podcast, most likely has 5 or 6 seats max. Mm-hmm. Is your favorite informative news podcast checking a wine menu? Is your gardening pod asking about appetizers? Maybe you have a pop culture cast that's showing up fashionably late. The reality of that table is this. You really only have one extra seat, maybe, to invite someone else because you will 100% be saving 5 seats at the table for not just the pod, but the individuals who make up No Dunks. Skeets, Tass, Lee, Trey, and JD are the top picks for your most valuable pod. Don't even worry about trying to pull over an extra table to fit more people with this one. You won't need it. Here's to the guys that know their basketball, speak their minds, and more often than you might expect, get derailed on unrelated hilarity. 5 stars all day.
Wow.
Thank you, Marshall, and thank you everybody who submitted a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll do it again March 4th, I'm guessing.
Yeah, 4 weeks or so from now. Thank you so much to everybody that has left your 5-star ratings and reviews. Keep them coming. Really, really appreciate it. Helps us in terms of rankings and for people to find the show. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
All right, Tweet of the Night is football and basketball melding here as we get closer to the Super Bowl because BR and Turner reporter Taylor Rooks, she tweeted something from the mouth of Cincinnati Bengals QB Joey Burrow, who she chatted with after he won and he's going to the Super Bowl, baby. She tweeted, Joe Burrow told me if he went into an NBA game, he could get at least 12 to 15 points with an absolute straight face. Okay, Joey, what you got, man? So I did some digging. Can the rookie QB play ball? The answer, unequivocally, yes, okay. He can.
He's got some
game. He played high school, and here he is. He was first team.
Oh, nice looking jumper, actually.
Yeah, well, he's money in the bank. He's a point guard. He's 6'4", 195. He was all Ohio first team. Average 19 points, 6 boards, 1.5 steals. Yes.
Wow.
Us Americans, we keep our stats here. He was shot 51% from the floor. He'd get to the hoop. He's obviously huge, could see over everybody, and had a money shot. And could shoot, from everywhere, getting everybody involved. And we're watching it here. If you're on YouTube with us, this is him, senior in Ohio, just making it rain from all over the place. The guy is great. And he loves his basketball, his NBA basketball, because this is a tweet of his from 2013 when the Spurs were in the finals. And he tweeted this.
Oh, no, there's that word again.
Yes. That's why I definitely wanted to include it. He tweeted the Spurs, : the best ensemble of foreign players of all time. Joey Burrow loving the ensemble out there of foreign players. So it's cool. You think we all talk about LeBron, football player, quick bracelet malfunction.
Yeah. Chaining day, I guess.
Isn't Joey Burrow iced out?
Yeah, he's an inspiration.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
No, yeah. Just fell
Joey
off.
Burrow was asked recently that chain around your neck, are those real diamonds? I got to ask you now, Trey. That chain around your wrist, is that real,
is it real
sterling silver? Or what's going on there?
Nope. This is just some metal links.
Yeah. Nice accessory work.
What did you think of the Joey Burrow tape there?
Look great. Yeah. Nice form, nice mechanics. Yeah. I'm not super surprised like an all-star or a Super Bowl quarterback is also good at other sports. Most of them tend to be decent at something else.
True.
I believe Joe Burrow's favorite player of all time is Matthew Dellavedova too. I believe he said that once because he's from Cleveland or Ohio.
Yeah.
And the Cavs in the finals, obviously.
Because he probably looks at Matthew Dellavedova and goes like,
yeah,
I can do that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I remember about him anyway. But yeah, no, I mean, his form was absolutely good. And he did look big. You could just tell he's a big guy out there against other high schoolers. So yeah, I think he could, I don't know, about 12 to 15, but I think he could get out and go. How tall is he?
6'4". He's 6'4" in high school. I don't know if he's grown since then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he could get a couple of buckets for sure.
Yeah, spot shooter, 12 to 15. We, you know, we've got our two-sport guy in LeBron. Of course, he could play football. Kyler Murray, I guess, he can do it too. So can Joey B. Get him on the floor, and he was confident. And, yeah, he's got a three-point shot too, not just a two-point shot. So, yeah, there's Joey Burrow shooting it up.
Mm.
Pick'em results from last night, brought to you by BetMGM. Minnesota, Detroit, big line, or fairly big line for the road team. Wolves were favored by 7.5, and Pistons were up at the half. It was fairly close, and then the Wolves blew the doors off them at the end and covered. So that's a win. For me, that's a win for Trey. That's a win for Lee, who's perfect in the month of February here. Tass, unfortunately, swerved, took Detroit, and Tass hasn't got a win yet here early in the month. You're 0-3, so what's
that's
tonight's
right.
game?
We've got an ESPN doubleheader. We're going to go to the second game of that ESPN doubleheader. Actually,
No, maybe it's just a solo night with a 10 p.m. ESPN game.
Oh, it's because the Olympics are on. I don't know if that's the reason.
Why? They're not on ESPN. I believe it.
No, but it's just, you know, a lot of eyeballs on NBC. You got to see the opening ceremonies.
Cavs Hornets on NBA TV early, so that's a good one. There's lots of good games, as we said. Hawks Raptors, but on ESPN, 76ers Mavs. Tight line, very tight line. Mavs just have to cover by 1.5 at home. And Trey's taking those Mavs while Philly is being taken by Skeets, myself, and Lee. Should be a tight game. Mm-hmm. Mavs coming off a couple bad losses. They lost to OKC. And the 76ers laid a bit of an egg in their last game as well. So here we go. Two teams looking for a win.
Here we go. You're going to be what? Go ahead.
The NHL All-Star Skills Competition is on ESPN at 7:30 tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh. Is this where they're doing this thing in like the Bellagio Fountains? Did you see this?
Yeah,
thing going
I did.
Around?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're doing.
They're like shooting at things like out on the
blackjack. When are they doing that blackjack?
It used to be on Saturday night. Yeah. Okay, so Friday night. Yeah, I guess it's tonight. It sort of looks like a Wheel of Fortune board to me, where they're just firing pucks at it, trying to
or like a Jeopardy board, like a Jeopardy board type thing, but they're all up there. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Whatever. One of those boards. Yeah. Fire and you hit a letter or you hit a number and it's 21 or yeah. I think the other one is also very interesting, where you're just dropping pucks in like there's like these floating thingies in the Bellagio and you're just flicking pucks in.
It's like Top Golf but hockey.
Yeah.
Right. If there's targets out in the water, it's amazing they're out on the fountain though.
Well, that's a lot of sports on tonight.
A lot of sports. Are you going to be watching the opening ceremonies tonight?
I might dip in and out, yeah.
Because it already happened, but they'll package it together.
I don't know when the Olympics have started or if they're halfway through.
No, it's true.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
All right. Yeah, lots of sports on. But not the Super Bowl, right?
Not tonight.
Not tonight,
The 2-week break until next week in the big game. Okay, let's end this Classic Drop podcast, though, with some rapid-fire fun. Lee, you got the questions these guys are answering today. What do you got?
I've got an article from ESPN's Tim McMahon this week detailed how, after knocking down a three-pointer against the Lakers, Memphis Grizzlies guard Desmond Bane talked trash to LeBron afterwards, saying, "Them footsteps aren't scaring nobody." When was a time recently when you either felt your age or someone made you feel old? Trey.
The oldest I've felt in the past 5 years, I would say, was, I think it was 2 Christmases ago, and I had to saw off, like, you know, the bottom of my Christmas tree, because we like to save that little disc, write a year on it, 2019, yay, you know, look at it once a year. Oh, cool, we had a tree that year. It took me so long to saw the bottom of this thing off. I was like, oh my goodness, finally got it. This was totally worth it. And then I was laid up like the next 6 days from sawing a Christmas tree. They say a good craftsman never blames his tools. Mm. I'm not a good craftsman. 100% the saw's fault. I didn't have the right saw. I was like putting inserts into my shoes because I was like, are these shoes making my back hurt? Making my shoulders hurt? No, it was the 30 minutes you spent sawing on a tree. Bad stuff.
You gotta ask for a chainsaw for Christmas.
All right.
Write that down.
My birthday's this month. I'm going to tell my mom. Mommy? Mommy?
He will too. And
I want a chainsaw.
JD.
You guys know that I took up skateboarding. Mm. I've mentioned my spills before, but my last fall was bad. Like, I wasn't injured at all, but it took literally months to recover.
Wow.
Just because...
On your tailbone, or you fall on your wrist, or tumble over.
That time, I started on my side, but it was like right, bam, onto the concrete, and just like my bones rattling. Like, I mean,
hey, to bring it back to the Full House video, didn't you get injured when you were sliding into the final shot when we're on the blanket?
That's an awesome slide.
Yeah. But I still held my pose.
You did.
It was great. Yeah. And I've showed this picture before, but just because it's skateboarding related, this was my first spill.
Jesus.
A nice big bruise right on my ass. It was bad, but I got right back on there, and you know, that's what you got to do.
What's the hardest part of skateboarding?
Staying on it, I guess.
I thought it was the cement.
Oh!
That was a Yannis Gumpo joke.
Now,
yeah.
Is that your answer for this?
Yes, exactly. That's why I set it up, baby.
Yeah.
Do you have another one?
No. That's it.
Okay. Another interview, this time with Snoop Dogg in Vanity Fair this week, and the rapper was asked what his greatest fear is, and he answered, heights. I love being high, but I don't like being up high. What is something you are afraid of, ironically or not, Trey?
I'm not afraid of hair. But, okay, so let me say this. I've had a big beard for like 6 years now. I obviously had long hair for a while. But if the hair touches my face where I don't want it to be touching, like, I hate it. Like, I can't, like, bangs? I could never imagine having bangs. You know, like, just like... Dang. Rubbing on your forehead, or like when your beard gets messed up and it like pushes up, I feel, or like when my mustache curls down into my lip, I just hate the feeling of hair on my face. Except for where it's like was supposed to be. So like this zone, hair free no for zone, life. Right. Yeah, exactly.
An ironic one.
Yeah.
JD.
I'm a person who loves living in a city. I like people all around me. But my biggest pet peeve is people. Like, I hate people. I can't leave without being annoyed with, you know, people idling in their cars or, oh, the carpool lane. That's a big one for me and at schools. And just interacting with people is just not my strong suit. But I do prefer, like, the idea of living in a cabin in the woods by myself. That is hell to me somehow. So there's an irony there. I think so. Yeah.
The carpool lane.
They don't know what they're doing.
It's just a weird phenomenon down here.
You know? Oh, totally. Yeah.
Can you explain it for?
Okay, so I guess people drive their kids to school, including me.
Yeah.
I have an excuse because my kid goes to an art school and they don't bus there. So, not to say that, you know, whatever. There's no transport here, really.
Yeah.
A carpool lane is where you basically pull in to bring your kid and drop them off to school.
Sure.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody understands it. Like, the whole point is don't pass in the carpool lane. People do it all the time. Like, just because there's kids walking, children walking, I mean, high school, but they're still children. People are trying to walk and get into the school, but people just pull out. Screaming matches with parents, like, you know, obscenities flying, just crazy, crazy shit. Yeah. You know,
like season 1, episode 1 of Big Little Lie. You know,
I almost stopped watching that show because of that scene because it was so real. It was just like, this is getting me stressed out and this is getting my dander up, man. I can't handle it.
So it's really just people not following the rules of the car.
You know me, I'm a serial rules follower and I get so incensed when the rules are not being followed.
Right.
Because sometimes the rules are there for a reason, guys.
And there's cops there as well.
Regular. Yeah, not at our school.
Oh.
So it's just me. Patrolling.
The cop. The old man.
Yeah.
That's right.
His dad was a cop, too.
Tess.
Well, mine is NFTs for a few reasons. First, because some of them are just sincerely, like, legitimately freaky. Don't like some of the drawings. Like, one from Jose Frank I. Blinkerton. This one I'm showing you here on YouTube, legitimately freaky.
Ooh.
I think Amir Blumenfeld owns that one. Hope you get some more ETH for that, Amir. Second, why I'm afraid of NFTs. What if I miss out on all the good ones?
Might be missing out, man.
What am I going to do? Third, I'm afraid of the open sea.
What's going on?
The open sea?
That's
the platform. Yeah.
Right.
That's how you get it, man. That's how you buy them. You got to be on open sea.
Right. Last one.
Before you move on, Taz, that picture, I'm going to show it again. It freaked me out, too, and I wasn't sure, like...
What the hell is it?
What it was, but it reminded me. Now I know that it's an NFT.
Yeah.
I pulled up a picture. I've been using this as my Facebook profile pic for years. It's this.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah. But,
so perhaps I should make this. This is a drawing by my son, Jackson, from probably 7 years ago. And it's just a scary beast. Like, it's just...
No, that's an NFT now.
Oh, yeah.
20 ETH.
Yeah, right?
Minimum bid. Yeah.
Okay. No, we'll put it on the old... What is it? The OpenSea?
Yeah, get out on the OpenSea, my man.
Careful on the OpenSea, man.
Okay, last one here. On Wednesday night, Nets coach Steve Nash's post-game press conference was delayed because Coolio was outside the Nets press conference room telling Nash, every time I perform, the home team wins. 10 in a row. What's the current streak you've got going on right now, Trey?
I'm not sure what the streak is at right now, but it's since we went to that Grizzlies game. Not just me. I think there's been a Flight of the Conchords reference on probably every show since then. A lot of too many things on the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Steve. Yeah, we've got some Steves in there. I would like to work a Leggy Blonde in somehow.
Yeah.
Maybe Luke Kennard. Maybe a Luke Kennard reference. Is he blonde? I don't know.
He's fair. Dirty head,
blonde.
I think, yeah.
Fair. Blonde
yeah.
enough. Blonde enough. Yeah. Leggy Luke.
JD.
Yeah, I've been very boring. I've been doing the Peloton for 4 weeks straight. Very nice. Proud of myself.
Good for you.
Very proud of myself.
Peloton's getting some good traction out of this show, I tell you.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
That's true. It needs all the help it can get.
I think it'll be fine.
And Tassie.
Streak classics. Like 3,000 of them.
Wow.
yeah, we're at approximately 3,000. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Who's counting?
I am.
Yeah.
yeah, and you're right. I forgot to bring it up. I guess late last week is when we officially hit 3,000 podcasts, counting the Basketball Jones, the Starters, and now No Dunks. Though it's not perfect because there's a lot of other shows that sometimes we haven't counted as an actual episode. But yeah, classics, no doubt. Yeah, 3,000 plus. That's it?
That's it.
That's all. Done. Your questions?
That's all. No more questions, Your Honor.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second, if you haven't, to like the video and make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews wherever you watch or listen to the podcast, wherever you can at least. We'll be back on Monday. Then we'll have a little bonus or two, I think, on the No Dunks YouTube feed for you guys over the next couple of days is what I'm trying to say. Get your No Dunks gear over at nodunks.com. Subscription to The Athletic, theathletic.com/nodunks. And what else? That's about it. You guys got any big plans for the weekend? Just watching all the sports, probably.
So many sports,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I might saw something. Sawing is hard. I agree. It's just something you'd never do. The pull, push, pull, push.
You gotta find a nice little angle and rhythm and stuff like that.
Yeah, or else, you're compensating with other muscle groups. But it's fun. If you get
good.
In a groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, how many rebounds did you grab this morning? Were you keeping track?
Too tired to count this morning.
Okay,
yeah, it's way harder to count. Guy got elbow in the face. Two black eyes, though.
Two black eyes.
So what, he got hit like right in the nose almost?
I think somebody went over his back on a rebound, elbowed him right in the nose. Not chill.
No, not chill at like not 7 chill. In the morning on a Friday. No.
Guy didn't stop playing, though.
I respect.
Yeah. Shout out to Weaver.
Awesome. All right, guys. We'll be back on Monday with your NBA weekend winners and losers. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and come back on Monday. We'll be running the 5-man Weaver.
Embrace the day, people. Embrace the weekend.